Hello and welcome to the Guelph Politicast. I'm Adam A. Donaldson of Guelph Politico. If this is your first time listening to the Guelph Politicast, welcome. Guelph Politicast is an interview show where I talk to politicians, activists, and people of note making a difference or are just making life on the Royal City more interesting. For previous episodes of the Guelph Politicast, you can find them on the Guelph Politicast channel on Podbean or subscribe on iTunes. Today I talk to Jeremy Luke Hill of Vocamus Press, a local independent publishing company that specializes in Guelph-based authors and their works. Books may not be big business anymore, but they are small business, and as Vocamus proves, a very successful one at that. Local authors and local books are the topic of this week's Guelph Politicast, but first, my usual public service announcement. Guelph Politico is crowdfunded through Patreon, where you can contribute on a per-monthly basis of any amount you feel comfortable using PayPal or your credit card, and all that money goes to maintaining a locally sourced independent media outlet in Guelph called Guelph Politico. Through your generous donations, you will be paying to keep the Politicast going, as well as regular coverage of city council and politics in and around and concerning the Royal City. For more details, click on the giant orange P on the right-hand side of the Guelph Politico page or go to patreon.com/GuelphPolitico. And now on with the show. The digital revolution has made a lot of things easier. Movie making is easier with cheaper cameras and computer editing software. You can host a radio show from your bedroom with a cheap microphone and a headset. And you can start a news site using a simple Blogger template and a Twitter feed. But if your thing is making books, what then? Good old-fashioned bound paper books. Well, digital has made that easier too. Just ask Jeremy Luke Hill. Hill is the man behind Vocamus Press, a small Guelph-based publisher that was created by Hill in order to publish his own book, which was to be a gift for his child, but it soon exploded into a company designed to give local authors a shelf life by publishing their books. More than that, though, Vocamus is also promoting local authors, whether that's through professional development and advice, or through events like the Book Bash, which will be coming back for its third annual edition on Sunday, October 16th from 1 to 4 p.m. at Red Papaya in Old Quebec Street. So there's a lot to talk about with Hill, who is a one-man publishing company with all the editing, designing, production, and promotion responsibility resting on his head. We talk about that DIY functioning of Vocamus, the origin of the name, how he's built up his little publishing empire, and the challenges and rewards that have come with it. We will also talk about what local readers can expect from this year's Book Bash. I caught up with Jeremy Luke Hill earlier this week in studio. So Jeremy Luke Hill from Vocamus Press, thank you for joining me today.
You're welcome. I'm glad to be here.
Was that the proper Latin way?
Sure, yeah. That's pretty good.
So, to begin with, Vocamus Press, what is the origin of this? How did you get started as a publisher?
Well, it was initially just the a name to stick on the back of a book that I wrote for my kids. It had this kind of preteen fiction fantasy thing. And I wrote it for them. I had no interest in having it published, but I wanted pretty books. Mm. And people kept telling me, oh, you can totally self-publish nowadays. It's easy, easy. And so that I thought that's what I would do with that. And I needed a name to stick on the back of it. And so I had this name that had been hanging around since high school. I already had the domain name and I was blogging under that. And so I just said, fine, we'll call it Vocamus Press. And then we threw that out there. And then that's all it was for a bit. And then I had a lady come to me with a book of poems that had been in print but was now out of print. She said, hey, do you want to do this thing? I have the rights for it now. And we did that. And it sort of kind of started trickling in. And at that point, we still had no plans to actually publish anything. It was just doing people's private projects and whatever. But then we started to get some response to these things, and we saw some locally published books kind of turn into traditionally published contracts, and we thought, oh, that's an interesting thing. Mm-hmm. And maybe in a publishing world where there are more people publishing independently and in micropresses than ever before in staggering levels, it's often hard to get yourself heard there and to make that transition. Mm-hmm. And we thought, most people have been doing this by web, but maybe there's something to be said for making people biggish fish in smallish ponds and getting that kind of attention to start their writing career. And so then we started looking at that more or less deliberately. Let's find people who are doing interesting, weird things locally and that might not have enough attention or enough profile to get that book published, but we think it's worth doing, and let's start getting those out.
It's niche publishing, but the niche is Guelph, local to Guelph.
Yeah, and the stuff that we actually publish, and we'll probably have to go into later the difference between the publisher and the nonprofit at this point, we do only Guelph books, and we only really distribute locally. I mean, you can go on Amazon and buy it from anywhere in the world or whatever.
Sure.
But most of our sales are face-to-face, at local shows, at local readings, because that's what we want. We want to have Guelph know who's here and who's writing. So we mostly do poetry, mm-hmm. And we do a collection of poetry each year, also the Rhapsody Anthology that's coming out on October the 16th. We do a collection of teen writing with the Guelph Public Library. That's a first writing credit for young teens. So that's the kind of thing that we're doing, really local stuff, focused locally. And then there's a guy named David Knight who runs something called Vocum's Editions, which is older Guelph books that are important for one reason or another, and he puts them out in new editions. So John Galt is the founder of Guelph, but he's also a poet and a novelist, and some of his stuff has never really been published before.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes into the library and he comes out with a book.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, David Knight is a great example because you would think in Guelph, founded by an author, that we would sell the books at the tourism office on the first floor of City Hall.
Yeah.
But you couldn't, I mean, where would you find a John Galt book before David Knight started?
Well, before, I don't know. You can now get it at the museum because of David Knight. But it's true. There are these... It's a funny thing. We are a very literary city in lots of ways. I mean, many of the best-selling authors in Canada live here, the best-selling children's author in Robert Munch, and the best-selling YA author in Eric Walters. And I mean, we have last year's one of the runners-up for the Governor General's Award, and the winner of the year before that. And I mean, we have a lot of people living in Guelph. But running events in Guelph is not always... doesn't always get people out, and you don't get a lot of that kind of local literary culture happening. It's authors live here, but it doesn't seem to have the same kind of profile as, say, music. Guelph has a really interesting music culture in many different ways. And books don't seem to have that same cachet, I guess. I don't know.
And the big book events tend to be... authors not from Guelph. You know, there was Alexandra Trudeau here during the Eden Mills Writers Festival. You know, Michael Harris was here earlier this year for his book, or last year, I should say, Power of One, the Stephen Harper book he wrote. So it just seems like when there is a book event, unless it's something like the Eden Mills Writers Festival, which does feature a lot of local authors, or any event you run, it just seems like, and maybe this is a reflection of the book business, it's just that the names still sell more than the locality and the local
Absolutely,
talent.
Yeah. It is really the names. And I'd say that that's more true now than ever before, where people now buy the bestseller, they buy the viral book rather than... And so we sell a lot. I don't know exact numbers, but I'd say we sell about the same number of books as we ever have, if you include ebook numbers in there. But... Mm-hmm. We sell more copies of fewer titles. Everybody's read the same books. And then you have all these people who have written and sold 50 books each, 100 books each. And so that kind of middle class of book is what we're seeing missing. And so the only people there that we go see are the Alexandra Trudeaus or somebody who's got some weight. And we get really great authors come into town to do fun events. And it always shocks me how many people are actually there.
Yeah, there are a lot of book fans. And, you know, the bookshelf, big independent bookstore still there on the main street. You know, a lot of people pass through, a lot of people buying books there. And it goes to show you something I always talk about with book people is that, you know, the books are still alive and well. And I remember... I think it was grade 5, there was a teacher who said, like, in 10 years, books would be gone and libraries would be gone. And this was, like, 1989 he said that. So we're almost 20 years past that, and books are still as huge as ever. And I don't know about your own ebook numbers, but it does seem like there is a ceiling on that. And I talked about that with Susan Radcliffe of Eden Mills, that there's a ceiling on the ebooks. It isn't as big as people thought it was going to be. It isn't the future. And she pointed out, weirdly enough, it's young people that tend to go for the physical books. The older people go for the ebooks and the Kindles.
Yeah. We've really noticed that. So this year, there are numbers to back this up, and I don't have them off the top of my head, but particularly in the UK, but I saw a recent thing about Canadian numbers too, where ebooks have actually decreased from where they were slightly the year before. And that's the first time we've sort of seen that plateau, and it has been plateauing for a while. And I don't think we're going to see less ebook sales because they really do serve a purpose, right? I mean, if you want to take 100 books with you on your vacation, if you want to do research on something, there are a lot of ways and reasons why ebooks sell. But especially for certain kinds of books, if you're reading poetry, we don't sell a lot of ebooks poetry. That's not
sure.
People want the book in the hand and children's books and you know, cookbooks and all this kind of thing. There are a lot of reasons why people still want books. And I don't think you're ever going to see us totally get past the paper book in the same way that certain kinds of musical formats continue, even as just for the audio files. You can still go and get vinyl, and you will be able to for the foreseeable future, and because there are reasons why people like that. So the ebook is not going away. It's always going to be a thing, and it's going to be an important thing. But on the other hand, it's not so it doesn't meet all the needs of readers. And so the physical book's going to be there too.
In terms of how Vulcamus works, I take it you don't have like a printing press in your basement. That would be fairly impractical. I imagine you might enjoy that. But in terms of if there is a local author with a book and they want to approach you, how does that process work?
Well, with the printing press thing, I floated that past my wife, and she said no.
I'd rather have a pool.
I'd rather have anything. It's really also, from a cost perspective, not practical. I wish it was. So the deal would be whether or not that person has a book that would appeal to the press as such. So if you have poetry, you got a collection, if you've got a manuscript for kind of literary fiction or short fiction even, we're totally willing to have people come and pitch something to us. That part of it would essentially be me. Hey, do I like your book? Then the process is that we sit down and sign a contract. And we do contracts a wee bit differently. We don't have any kind of rights to your work for future books. And even the current book, we do see ourselves as an incubator space. And if your book goes huge for some reason, we know that we can't distribute widely in the way that it might need. We're happy to have you go and sign with somebody else. So we don't even ask for exclusive rights to the book we're publishing. We only ask for the right to publish and promote it to the degree that we can. Because we do see ourselves as doing that. We want to push people on to the next level. We want to make them into something that might be the next step for them. So for the same reason, we split royalties with or income with the authors 50-50. Whatever after printing, we split it. And authors can always buy books at cost, and then they keep 100% of the income on it. We are really pushing people to get out in the community, sell themselves, sell their books, be the author that they're going to be. So the contracts look a little bit different that way, and we kind of there are reasons for that. If you have another kind of book, it could be any kind of book. It could be a book that is even published by another publisher. We're also really willing to sit down with you and talk about how to promote that in Guelph. So the nonprofit part of what we do, Friends of Vulcamus Press. We don't care who publishes that thing, whether your aunt does or your dog does or Doubleday does. We want to help you promote that thing. So, if you've got a book in Guelph, by all means be in touch because it's all free. We don't charge anything for that kind of stuff, and we're happy to help.
So there's two sides of it. There's the press and the books that you release and you sell, and then there's this other side where you don't have to necessarily publish with Vulcamus, but if you're interested in doing that kind of, I guess, grassroots promotion of yourself and of your book, then you lend a hand and lend some insight into how someone would go about that, and that's through Friends of Vulcamus.
Yeah, and Friends of Vulcamus does that promotion, but it also does all kinds of other literary community development. We do free workshops, so we're partnering with the Guelph Public Library to do a series of workshops in February. We're doing a panel with them in January on crowdsourcing for writers. We're doing, we help with the University of Guelph Library with their workshops in over the reading break. So we do that kind of stuff. We also sit down and do consultations with people. They bring us a manuscript and we say, okay, let's talk about this thing. Is it useful to a traditional publisher maybe? If so, how do you write a query letter? How do you query an agent? How do you query a publisher? Do you need some sort of feedback on some editorial stuff? Can we hook you up with people to do that kind of work? And then, but if it's something that would be better self-published, what kind of option works for you? Because there are so many different options out there for doing self-publishing or independent publishing. So what kind of works for you? And what do you need to do that well? And do you need an editor? Let's send you to these people who will do editing. Do you need a cover artist? Let's do some of that. So to give people resources to do that independent publishing well, rather than just kind of slapping something together and then being disappointed with the product. And then once it's out there, we do all that promotion too.
It sounds a bit like networking, because if you were you go to a major publisher like Penguin, let's say, you would find people who could do all that, who would read your manuscript and give you editing advice and get the cover art and do the marketing. But this is like open source, crowdsourcing kind of a publishing business you have, it sounds like.
Yeah, it's basically locally oriented, crowdsourced networking for publishing, because you're right. There, if a publisher is essentially a one-stop shop for that. But even if you go into a traditional publisher, there aren't always all those resources available to you in the way that you want. So we get a bunch of people who come with a traditionally published book and they say, listen, I don't feel like I'm getting any support here for promotion at all, or not enough, or not in ways that I think are useful for my book. And so, again, we do the same thing with them. Here's a bit that we feel like the traditional publishing industry isn't supporting, so we need help. And so, again, the idea is essentially to bring local writers together at every stage. Do you just want to hang out? Well, fine. Let's have pub nights. Do you want to have a writing group? Great. Let's do that too, and to put people in touch with each other. And I would say that's probably the majority of what I do, is say to people, oh, you need to talk to this person, or you need to talk to this person, check this person out.
I think people associate a level of snobbery with the literary world, whether that's justified or not.
Fair.
But I do wonder if you ever get feedback from people who are like, doesn't it kind of cheapen publishing to have it, like, to sort of take it to the people? There's this kind of austere nature to it, you know, the gilded nature of the publishing house, the old-fashioned publishing house. But what you're talking about makes complete sense to me, because this is very much where it seems like the world is going. But I wonder if in book publishing in particular, if like worlds are colliding in that way.
Worlds are colliding a wee bit. And I'm not going to say there's no place for the traditional publisher. And I love the small-time literary publisher. I wish there were ways that we could make that model work better than it does. When I see the stuff that, you know, Porcupine's Quill puts out, that Biblioasis puts out, I love what they do. I'm a real supporter of what they do. I try to buy their books. I try to review their books, whatever I can do to make that happen, because it's good stuff.
Yeah.
And to a certain extent, with Vulcamus Press as such, we're looking to be a feeder system for that. I'm trying to find people who I think are really worth reading and writing for one reason or another. On the other hand, I feel like sometimes by saying that's the only way that literature functions, we forget a lot of the ways that writing produces culture apart from that. So in the same way that, I don't know, do you play an instrument of some kind?
No. Let's say piano.
Okay, let's say piano. So you wouldn't consider yourself a musician. On the other hand, there are a lot of people who don't consider themselves a musician, but who would, you know, play something for the grandma, throw something together for a girlfriend or whatever.
Sure.
Where they participate in music,
mm-hmm.
they listen to music, they do things with music, even though they're not musicians.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to recapture that for writing too, to say, okay, you come in with your memoir, this is not great lit. Let's not confuse that.
Mm.
On the other hand, it could be a very valuable way for you to express yourself to your family. Mm-hmm. Or these are some poems you whip together for a friend, you know, this is not great lit. That isn't its job. But is it an expression of a community in a particular time and place? Is it valuable? Yeah. So I want to be clear with people about what their work is doing. So write for what you do. Do it as best you can. Do it well. Let's do it better together.
Write for your audience.
Write for your audience and find out why that's important. So if you're writing for your kids mm-hmm. a memoir, well, let's write something that's significant to them.
Mm-hmm.
Let's write something that achieves that goal. Or if you're writing, you know, a lot of people come with essentially journals. They're sort of journaling through a time in their life, journaling through an issue. Well, that's great, but maybe this isn't even something you want published. Maybe this is something you just want a couple of copies for. So to find out where people are at, value the writing that they're doing for the reason that they're doing it, and then identify what's the best route for them. This is really good work, so let's find your traditional publisher. This is really good work. I'm not sure if it's going to be something that will appeal to a publisher, but we'll do it because we think you need a foot in the door. Or this is you know, something that has a particular spot. It's a history of our local church. It's a history of a community organization.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's do that thing. Let's help you do it and do it well because that has its value locally, even if it isn't Porcupine's Quill.
Mm-hmm. And that's an interesting story in its own right, because I remember being arts and culture editor of the Ontarian in 2005-06, and there was a real danger Porcupine's Quill wasn't going to be there anymore.
Yeah.
And here we are 10 years later, and it's still going strong.
Still doing its thing.
And I did look that up when I was preparing for this interview. Are they still around? Because I remember covering them being on the precipice, and they're still cranking out the books, which is great.
It's, yeah.
Press is not dead, despite all the dire warnings.
One of the first events we did was for a panel on kind of the future of publishing.
Mm.
Tim Inkster came in from publication from Porcupine's Quill,
mm-hmm.
and was telling us the stories of some of those really dark times.
Mm-hmm.
And it was amazing to hear him. You know, the after all this time, and he's bitter in some ways, and he's a bit cynical, but he still has such a passion for doing that. And so, keep those people trucking is a good deal.
Well, I'll pull a Stephen Colbert and credit myself with saving Porcupine's Quill.
Good that work.
May not be, thank you, may not be entirely accurate, but, we're coming down to close to the end of the interview here, but, I did want to talk about Book Bash because mm-hmm. that is sort of the epitome of having you in today. It's October 16th.
Yep.
11 to 4 Red Papaya.
1 to 4.
Is it 1 to 4?
Yep.
Okay.
If you show up there 11, I'll be there, but no one else will be.
I got one. I added an extra one.
Yeah.
That's how excited we are. But in terms of the Book Bash, I think it's 3 years it's been going.
Yeah, so this is the third year. And it's become a little thing into its own. We're still trying to feel our way with it. It's one of those things that, again, just kind of came into being.
Mm-hmm.
But I really love what happens there, where we get these local authors. It's any author who's done a book in the past year-ish in Guelph, and they come. And obviously you can't let all those people read because that would be deathly boring. But you do speed date.
That is the publisher talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, exactly. This can't happen. But you get them coming up, and they have a minute to sort of speed date their book, and they tell you why you should buy their book, and then there's live music, and there's booze, and there's prizes, and essentially it's a party for books, which celebrating what Guelph has produced in the past year, so really laid back, and you get a chance to go chat with the authors that you like, get them to sign your book or do whatever. It's very informal, And with all those books there, and because it could be anything, I can guarantee you that you won't love everything that's there. Mm. On the other hand, there's probably going to be something there that you will love. There, we get everything from, you know, memoir through poetry through. Last year we had, you know, erotica for seniors. We have, we've got short stories about real estate industry.
Mm.
I don't know. There's all kinds of stuff there. And so there's almost always something you're going to come and say, oh, that appeals to me. I like thriller. I like, you know, historical romance. I like vampire novels. It's all there. Guelph does it all.
Wow. So who can you name anyone who's going to be there this year? Maybe what they do? Maybe it's just a wet the whistle?
So we've got a couple of... I'm going to represent some local publishers here, too. Fenny Lalanine Publishing is going to be there. That is David Knight doing his weird thing. So he's got a book there, a couple of books there, but one by Bika Stengos. She's a poet and a fun lady all around, and she does this kind of a collection of pictures. Well, it's one picture cut up in various ways and then poems written in response to it. And it's a fun thing. It's a cool little book. Publication Studio mm-hmm. has their local publisher, and they're going to have some stuff there, including our new MC for the event is Anna Bowen, and she did a collaborative art piece with Kingsley. I'm forgetting Kingsbury. I can't remember her first name for some reason. Christina Kingsbury, who they did an art installation with seeds on paper and all kinds of crazy stuff. And so she's got pictures and poems and whatever in a book for that. And then we'll have our stuff there from our press. So, you know, this year we published a book for Andrea Perry, and she's going to be there to do her thing. So, yeah, there's a big variety. All the local presses will be there. The libraries are all going to have stuff there. It's going to be a fun day.
Does it surprise you that it keeps getting bigger, that you keep finding more people who have literary ambitions?
It doesn't surprise me that people are out there with literary ambitions. It surprises me constantly how many people go through the process of doing this book thing and what that still means to mm-hmm. say, you know, I wrote a book. And even if it's not a great book, it takes effort to do that. It really does. There's a level of commitment to an idea that's... it surprises me that people still do it in a culture where there are lots of other ways to express yourself. So clearly at this point anyway, that idea of I'm going to write a book is still really meaningful to people. And so I don't know if that lasts forever, but certainly, I mean, this is the third year in a row we're going to have about 30 authors who've done a book in a year
mm-hmm.
in, you know, a pretty limited geographical space. That's always impressive to me, and I don't know how long that keeps going. And every year I think, well, we have enough people to do it next year, and then we have way more than we need.
What are your ambitions with the business, or even the friends portion of it? Can it get bigger? Do you want it to get bigger? Do you like it at this size?
I kind of like it at this size. I'd like to have the friends part of it be its own thing eventually, basically able to run without me. And so we've been doing a lot of stuff. We expanding the director's board. We've got somebody on to do fundraising and somebody on to do communications and a bunch of stuff like that. Long term, I'd like to see a downtown shopfront that's a pub-ish, cafe-ish thing that would sell just local books. So nothing to compete with the bookshelf, but just... little shelf for the local publishers, little shelf for local writers. I'd like to have upstairs office space, a joint office space for all the little publishers to hang out together and share resources. I'd like to have an office space that'd be for writers just to come and hang out and write. I'm going to call it the press because, you know, like coffee press and wine press now. That would be the idea there. So we just need, you know, a few million dollars if anybody's got that laying around.
Any angel investors
exactly
listening.
Is anybody out there?
Yeah, I'd like a few million dollars myself.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about that afterwards.
So Jeremy, if people want to learn more about Vulcamus or Book Bash or reach out to you, maybe somebody with a book, how can people do that?
Well, they can go to the website. It's vulcamus.net, which is really easy. Or they can get me at jeremylukehill@vocamus.net. And I'm easy to hang out and chat with. So if people just want to chat, that's great. I hand roast my coffee and they're welcome to have some.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's impressive. Though I thought the book thing was impressive, but the hand roast coffee, that sweetens the deal, as it were. So Jeremy Luke Hill, thank you so much for joining me today. Good luck with Vocamus, since we had that discussion earlier.
We did.
Vocamus Press. Thank you, Jeremy.
You're very welcome.
And once again, that was Jeremy Luke Hill of Vocamus Press. You can learn more about it, Friends of Vocamus Press, and Book Bash 2016 as well at vocamuspress.wordpress.com or on Facebook and Twitter at Vocamus Press. And remember, Book Bash happens on Sunday, October 16th at 1 p.m. And that's it for this week's edition of the Guelph Politicast. The music for Guelph Politicast comes from KPN Classics and Sid Dale. The host of the Guelph Politicast is Podbean. Go to guelphpoliticast.podbean.com to listen to past episodes. And while you're there, you can also listen to Open Source's Guelph. If you missed last Thursday's episode on CFRU, you can download it via the Politicast channel on Podbean. You can get in touch with me by email at adamadonaldson@gmail.com or reach me through Twitter at adamadonaldson. There is also a Guelph Politico Facebook page, which you can find at facebook.com/politicoguelph. And of course, you can donate to Guelph Politico on Patreon at patreon.com/guelphpolitico. If you like locally sourced independent media in the city of Guelph, please consider donating. And as always, thank you to everyone who has continued to support Guelph Politico so far. For all the latest political news, check out guelphpolitico.blogspot.ca, where we will have a new episode of the Guelph Politicast for you shortly. And until then, see you next time.